Hello, everybody. Welcome or welcome back to the In Between podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly, and this is an episode where we have a bunch of questions that were listed. So we have a special guest, Melinda, and she's going to give us all the answers and some comments with some scripture as well. So let's just go ahead and get started. Melinda, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Melinda, and I'm a mom and a friend, and I just want to say that I'm answering all these questions based on that. I am not like a Bible scholar or a preacher or anything, just from my heart and my own experiences.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and get started. So we have all the questions listed out over here. So do you want to start with what you have on here?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so loving God out loud, hesitant to spread God's word, and walking boldly in spirit, we're going to add those together. So how do we go about loving God out loud?
Okay, so this is, again, like I said, kind of my perspective, and all these things I believe can be seen, you know, through different perspectives according to, you know, who's thinking about it. But for me, I felt like when I prayed and looked over these questions that loving out loud means that it's something that you want others to see. So if we're doing it out loud, it's not, we don't want to keep it in. So it's obviously something that's going to be our outward, you know, what we do that other people can notice. So first of all, I think you should, first of all, not to be ashamed. That if you have a real revelation of what salvation is and who God is, you're going to be loud anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think that's number one. And number two, I feel like, how can you let others know that you love God? So to be out loud. And I feel like the Bible scripture that I had for this was in John 13 and 33 through 35. You want to read them?
Sure.
So,
my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, Lord, one another, as I have loved you, so much love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Right, so, to me, I feel like that's the ultimate way that we can show that we love God out loud to others. Is the example that God left us is to love each other the way that he loved us, because if people see us loving each other, then we're doing what God wants and we're loving him out loud, and that's what's close to his heart. So that was my perception. It's just loving each other and showing the world God's love. That's how I think you could love God out loud.
I also think it's like better, like, showing off God's love and loving God in boldly, like, we really can't show that we love God if we're not loving others and
right.
spreading, like,
mm-hmm.
kindness and not being rude or the Grinch to them, you know, just being nice to them.
Right.
Showing off God's love by sharing kindness and being joyful to others.
Yeah, and we're his hands and feet. Sometimes we're the only thing, the only God that some people see is what they see in us. Mm-hmm. If we're not loving each other, then we should just not love God out loud. Be quiet. Okay. So you want to move to...
Yeah.
Where are we at? Okay.
So with people who are hesitant to spread God's word, like, they're more afraid to be bold about it. How
right.
do they go about that?
So I think my question would be, what would be the reason for, you know, being hesitant? So I just kind of speculated maybe... One of them could be your fear of being rejected by people. Because to me, that's maybe one of my things that hold me back sometimes is, you know, if I go to someone and I want to share and then they reject me, of course people are not just going to keep or feel comfortable just to go if you feel like somebody's going to turn you down.
Yeah.
So based on that, that's what I answered this question with. And so... The Bible verse that I have for that is Acts 4 and 31.
After they prayed, the place where you were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
So, I believe that's where the next question that we have also is
walking boldly in the Spirit.
So I believe that question 2 and 3 kind of tie together with the fact that you need to have boldness. And so the Spirit gives us strength to be bold. And I think we have to recognize it's not a physical strength. It's something that only can come by the Spirit. So I would say make sure that you pray for the Holy Spirit and let God speak for you through the Holy Spirit. And that Bible scripture said if you have the Spirit, He's given you boldness. So you just got to be confident enough to know that if I'm living in the Spirit, when I open my mouth, what I say is going to come boldly from God.
That's good. Moving on, how to know when God is speaking to you and which ways He communicates with us.
Okay, well, this is one I think we're forever learning because God's ways are never our ways. So, yeah. This is something that even at, I'm going to say how old I am, but I'm a lot older than you. So, I'm still learning, but the ways that I have found to help me understand how God is speaking to me. And also, I think there was another part to that. Like, it was kind of like a three
really,
part.
Determining whether God is talking to you, okay. Or is it really the devil in disguise?
Okay. So, the way I broke that down to understand, to explain is, if God is speaking to me, or if it's the devil, how do you discern which one? Mm-hmm. So, I think you really have to just find out the characteristics of God and how He speaks and how His character is and how He communicates. And I know I got all these Bible scriptures, but this to me is God's word, and that's the only way that I can get answers to that would, my perspective, but this is actually the word, so it doesn't have to do with anything, I think. So I have these scriptures here, and these are some of the ways that I feel like God communicates and shows His character.
Yeah. All right, so 1 Kings 19:11-13 says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'"
So that was one of the ways that I feel like God communicates with me is quietly. And the end of that verse, it was not in the loudness, it was not in the fire, it was not in all the things that we would expect God to come and speak to us.
Yeah.
So quietly sometimes I have to get all of the commotion around me, go to my room and pray and just sit still, and then I find God speaks quietly in that still small voice. And then the next one is, I have right here quietly, you just read that one, and the next one I believe He will speak to us through His word. And that's the next scripture that I have from Hebrews.
Yeah, so Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing souls and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart."
So basically I found that scripture because God's word is alive. Like if you open the Bible and you read it, you can be like, oh, this was years and years ago, but it says it's alive. And so anything that you find in the Word can apply to today. If you just read it, that's another way that I feel like God speaks to me. The next way is through His creation. That's the Psalms 19:1-4. And I don't know if you want to read that, you can. But basically, it's just kind of, everything that God created, the heavens, the earth, I know sometimes it sounds silly, but when you get older, you think about appreciating these things. You slow down from all your busy teenage and young adult years, and you start to appreciate the beauty of the things that God has created. And if He can create those beautiful things, and you actually could take time to see them, like all these beautiful plants you have in your room, I mean, it's beautiful. So He can speak to us through creation. And then the last one I think is the most important is the scripture from Matthew 10 and 20 is that He speaks through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so Matthew 10, 20 says, "For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Which, I really do love that verse because I feel like people assume that it's going to be, like, an actual person talking to you. And, like, you know how, like, sometimes you're praying an altar call and someone, like, gives you a message from God.
Right.
And that's how people expect God to speak to you.
Right.
Like, they want it to be, like, straight up and direct. But, so then they're looking for the wrong things. And then they end up ignoring or missing what God has already told them.
Right.
So
sometimes it is just like that first verse said. We want it to be, hey, specifically, God told me to tell you to do this, this, and that. But, like I said, God's ways aren't ours. And sometimes He's like, shh, just listen. And He'll speak to you. So those are some of the ways that I feel God's character is. And then the second part of that was how to determine if it was God speaking to you or if Satan. So now we went over God's character. So now I have a few things to look in the Word to find out how do you tell, did God say this or did the devil say this? So in Revelation 12 and 10, the Bible says that He's an accuser. So you can read that scripture.
And it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down."
Okay, so that's one of His characters. And then another one is that He's prideful. That's 1 Timothy 3 and 6.
"He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil."
So conceited, basically prideful, same thing. I think maybe I sometimes choose different versions of the Bible.
Yeah.
So sometimes wording is different, but it all means the same thing. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says that he's mean.
Yeah. So it says, "Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour."
And then the last characteristic that I found was deceitful. That's in Ephesians 6 and 11.
Yeah. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes."
So I feel like those are maybe just some scriptures to help with lining it up to see. Okay,
yeah.
If it's a mean thought, something that's accusing me or condemning me, or making me, you know, anything I feel like that's kind of hurting me and not helping me, I kind of feel like.
Yeah. Also kind of like piggybacking on what when you're talking about how he's prideful.
Right.
I know like in churches that are like whenever we're doing like certain specific areas in church, like being on the worship team or teaching, I feel like people can take pride in that as well, but then they take it as, it's God telling me to do it, but then they're making it more into, well, everyone's watching me, or I get all the attention, or I'm so good at this that I'm doing all of that. So how do we like kind of decipher like whether we're actually going into what God's telling us to do rather than taking in the pride that the devil is kind of leading us towards?
So the key word there, I think, is pride. And I'm not a musically inclined or talented person whatsoever. But I know from the Bible that was the devil's area. He was in charge of worship in heaven. So I find that most places where the devil gets us the most, and that we're the weakest, are in those places where we have talent. Because I think it's just in our own sinful nature to want to take credit and to want to be like, look at me, you know, look at how beautiful this is, or look what I've created.
Yeah.
I don't think it's okay to do. I don't think it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're like that. I think it's natural in our sinful nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that how you can recognize that is just when you start to feel those ways, you know, just know that I'm doing this for God and for His glory, and just let it be that, and not that it won't ever, you won't, I mean, we're human.
Yeah.
So it's something I think where these things are, you're going to battle with for the rest of the time that we're here. But even if you do mess up or whatever, God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're truly a person that wants all the glory and is doing it in a bad way, either you're close enough with Him that He'll convict your heart and you'll change, or
yeah.
you'll continue and down the road. One day you're going to be met with it because
yeah.
you can't, you know, you just can't. All the glory belongs to God. So hopefully that made sense. But
yeah, that
didn't make
sense.
Ooh, this a one.
All right. So can lessons turn into blessings?
Oh, I think we skipped number 7.
You did?
Oh, this one. Oh, we did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that one right here, I don't know if you want to address that part. So that this was number 6 and number 7 together.
Okay, yeah.
But it kind of, I just want to make sure, I don't know if you want to address that. But so that question is almost similar.
Mm-hmm.
And we already talked about how to, you know, figure out if God or Satan is giving you a thought. But I wanted to make sure that we didn't forget this verse, because this is how I deal with my thoughts, anxious thoughts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I try to help keep my thoughts in check, is by the verse Philippians 4 and 8.
Yeah.
So
Philippians 4 and 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things."
So, that's it. If I get a thought in my head that's any of those characteristics that
yeah.
we read about Satan mm-hmm. and how he is, the Bible's telling me, think about these things. These
yeah.
things are going to help you be healthy and productive. And then I believe there was a part in there that said, how do I know if it's not me?
Yeah.
So, guess what? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's God speaking through you. So even if it's you, it's the Holy
right.
Spirit. So it doesn't, you know, it's okay to sometimes speak things, and we are God's vessel. So I'm not saying I'm Jesus or you're Jesus. I'm
mm-hmm.
just saying if the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, even if you feel like it was you, it might be you because that's the avenue He's coming through.
Yeah.
But it can still be God speaking
through
even to you through you.
Yeah.
Through the Holy Spirit. So in that, Job 33, that was the thing that I wasn't quite sure of, because this only thing I'm going to say about that is that verse was just in there. So I don't know. I feel like, so basically the book of Job is all about, everybody, you know, knows the
mm-hmm.
that he lost a lot of things. And then, so basically it's, and this verse is, the context of it is, Job had 4 friends,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's trying to figure out, why is he going through all this? Obviously, he had to sin, or he had to do something wrong. Like, they're trying to go through it and say, like, what have you done to deserve all of this?
Yeah.
You had to have done something wrong. And then in Job 33, this is the youngest friend, and his name was Elihu, I think. I don't know if I spelled that right. I mean, I said that right. But anyway, he's claiming to be more on the side of speaking for God. And the other ones, Job was like, y'all are miserable comforters. You know, basically,
yeah.
just leave me alone, the other 3. So this one is more like, you know, not that he's right or wrong, but he's speaking. So the book of Job is like the friends that are speaking. So not all of these voices are, I don't know if they're trying to think if it was God or Satan, but these are actually friends that are speaking to Job.
Yeah.
And but the conclusion of that is, and if you read Job 38, it's long. All these are long, so you have to read them yourself.
Yeah.
But God answers all of the friends
yeah.
and Job's questions, and He sets them all straight. So if you want to know the answer to that, just read Job 38, and God will answer all of them questions
yes.
for you. Okay.
All right. right, yeah. So, can lessons turn into blessings?
Okay. I think that lessons can absolutely turn into blessings depending on if you learned your lesson, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, lessons go along with a test. So, mm-hmm. if you pass the lesson, you pass the test. And then I feel like if you pass something, you got revelation, then it's your duty to share it with people, and it turns into a testimony. So, yes, it can be a blessing for you and a blessing for other people. And just don't condemn yourself. Life is full of things that you have to learn. And each thing you go through, you throw out the bad and you keep the good. And make sure you're a blessing to someone else when you learn, and don't hold that for yourself, because sometimes we don't know what people are going through because we're afraid to share them. But if we begin to share the lessons we've learned, you'll be surprised. Somebody may be going through that and not want to say anything, and you've helped them. So yes, be a blessing to yourself and to others.
And kind of going off of that as well, like when we are going through that lesson, like when we're going through that season where we're being trialed and we're being tested and we're trying to learn from the mistakes that we had, how do we go about resisting the urge to kind of give up? Because I know there are times where, like, for me personally, I know I'm like, okay, I'm going through this, but I can't anymore because it's hard. I have to go back to where I was. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we go about resisting that urge?
Well, I feel like we just put it into context of, like you said, a test. Mm-hmm. And think about it as any other test that you may go through in school. You went through all early college.
Yeah.
So you know all about it. You just can't give up.
Right.
You didn't know the answers to some of those questions that you thought, I'm going to fail, I can't do this, I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. But now that you've graduated, you've obviously figured out the answer. But if you would have said, oh, I can't do this anymore, I quit, then you would have never gotten to the finish line and understood the answers. It's hard in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's always hard in the middle. Sometimes it's quiet. You feel like God's not talking to you. You can't find an answer. You're just stuck. But my advice would be just to keep pushing. Never go backwards. As long as you're going forward, even if it's a teeny tiny baby step, as long as you're going forward, that's all God requires.
Yeah.
And that's all that you need. Because you'll start finding those little steps turn into bigger steps, and then you will learn lessons, and you'll tell yourself, you know what, I almost gave up that time, but I kept going and look at this. And that comes with age, and it comes with being through trial, going through trials and different things. But don't give up. Do not give up. And that's why it's important to share your lesson.
Yeah.
Because if you don't share that, somebody's about to give up. And if they just hear you encourage them and be like, I almost gave up here. Oh, okay, well, if Kimberly can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Going to know it. How to seek God's attention and not the attention for others.
Okay. Well, so this is, I want to say it again. These are me, my personal views. I don't want anybody to be like, yeah, she's crazy. Whatever. I mean, I am crazy, but not like that. So here's the way I feel. And I have 5 children. So I have a little bit of experience with this part of it. So I feel like we're all built to appreciate attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to look like it's the most horrible thing, because if you think about how our lives are set up, we have sports, awards, performances, everything that you do as a child growing up, people are clapping, hey, look at him, yeah, you got a goal. And so we're kind of built as kids to appreciate and love attention. It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'd say that it's normal kind of to get caught up in that, but think about the reward that you're seeking from that attention.
Yeah.
Are you seeking worldly attention or eternal attention?
Right.
So, of course, we're all going to be smiling from ear to ear when our parents are happy and praising us for something we did good.
Yeah.
So we just got to separate that and think about the type of attention we want to keep.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like a main thing that this generation struggles with most, especially like with everything changing, everyone's like having these new trends, and like everyone is more on social media than they were before.
Right.
Like everything is on
it's
social
crazy.
Media. So everyone's like, okay, well, this is on TikTok, so now I need to fit in so I can go viral.
Right.
Or, you know,
it's a different it's a definitely different level of attention than I grew up with. I ain't trying to sound like I'm wiser than all, but we didn't have all these things.
Right.
And I'm not 125 years old either, but it just started happening, all this viral stuff, when I was about in my 30s or so. So I'm trying to understand it as a parent, because it's important to my children, and it's something that's in their generation. Mm-hmm. There was a different type of attention seeking and bullying in different ways.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like, I can bully you and be behind this computer.
Yeah.
And you don't get a chance to say, to defend yourself.
Exactly.
So, it's a crazy world, and there's wonderful things about it like this, and then there's bad sides of it.
Yeah.
So, just seek that godly attention first, and even from godly people. I don't think it's wrong for me to say, Kimberly, I'm proud of you for having the courage to do all this, because what kids, okay, you're not a kid, I'm sorry, but what young adults want to get on here and talk about Bible stuff with, you know, the world. So
right.
I can say I'm proud of you. That's attention,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay.
Yeah.
But just line it up with, is this godly, you know, attention that's going to benefit me spiritually,
mm-hmm.
or that world attention that we want is
right.
going to end up hurting us in the end, because...
Yeah, and I will say, like, if we are gonna go for the world's attention, at least have it in the perspective of God.
Right.
Like,
oh yeah,
we could, like, going out on social media, like, you know, having the podcast, like I am doing, or, you know, posting certain
right.
things on Instagram that is to glorify
mm-hmm.
God and not in order to fit in with what the world
right.
is.
And be proud of yourself for
yeah,
that.
And
take the attention and not in a prideful, wrong way. But
right.
what I'm saying is, there is a balance.
Yeah.
You need to be proud of yourself when you're doing something to further the kingdom, because
mm-hmm.
if we're not, we're not going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
If I don't say I'm proud of you, or, you know, everybody needs a little bit of encouragement. Maybe it shouldn't be attention. Maybe we should change it to encouragement.
Yeah.
Because if we're loving each other, like we went back to number one,
mm-hmm.
like Jesus loved us, He's going to tell us, oh, this, you're doing good. And that is a form of attention,
yeah.
you know. But it's a balance. But I think you should be proud of yourself. And I think, you, like you said, you should use it for God's glory. And let it be. And keep on pushing that way.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So the next question is asking, how do we build a relationship with God?
Okay. Ooh, I am so sorry. Okay, so for me, I think about building relationships in this way. I feel like my relationship with God is more of, I made it complicated in the first, when I first started serving God. I mean, I've kind of always been in church my whole life. And, you know, one time I walked away and I came back. So I feel like I got a better appreciation for who God was the second time around, because I done it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say, before, I done it for other people, not
right.
myself. So you find a relationship through that. So I feel like what I've learned is building a relationship with God is similar to building one with people.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to get closer to a person, I, number one, would talk to them.
Yeah.
So if I want to get close to God, I'm going to talk to Him. That's in the form of prayer, whatever. I talk to God about anything. Like, my kids sometimes think that I'm crazy because they're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to embarrass them. And I'm like, did you pray about it? Ew, why would I pray to God about that? Well, because, I mean, talk
yeah.
to Him about anything you want to. That's how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I used to pray for tests. I tell my kids, get up and pray to God to help you have the wisdom. You know, you're talking
yeah.
to God. It's...
Yeah.
You know, it's a conversation ongoing, just never stop talking to Him. I laugh if I see something silly. I'm like, God, did you see that? That was funny, wasn't it? You know, have a conversation. That's how you have a relationship. And then the second thing I would do is study them to find out what they like and what they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a relationship with somebody, you want to know how to please them.
Right.
You want to know what they don't like, what makes them upset. And you find all that in God's Word. And you'll find His characteristics, just like we did a few, but in John 5:39, and this is what I always like to tell my kids, is anytime you see anything in the Bible that's in the red letters,
yeah.
Right.
That's literally Jesus speaking. Yeah. So these are in red letters.
Okay.
John 5:39.
It says, "You study the scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testifies about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have a life."
So Jesus himself said, if you want to know me,
read the Bible.
Read my word. It's alive. Mm-hmm. So just read it and then you'll know him and you'll develop a relationship. And I think to go further, this is, you know, part of relationship with God is, for myself, I like to serve like Jesus. I believe to me, for me, mm-hmm. when I'm serving others and when I'm helping others, I am so as close to God as I am ever going to be, because I feel like that's his heart, part of his characteristics
right.
that we learn in the Word. So for me to fulfill my relationship, if I'm doing something to help somebody or anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything that you can think of that makes somebody smile or encourages them from bringing them meal, anything,
mm-hmm.
then you're being God's hands and feet, and that's going to deepen your relationship because you're getting to his heart.
Yeah. Every time, like, someone compliments, like, saying, like, oh, I listened to this, and that really helped me with this situation,
yes.
like, that made me feel closer to God,
right.
because I feel like I'm following your path.
You're doing
directly.
His will.
Because this is exactly what others told
right.
you, and they're telling me now because
mm-hmm.
you're using me. Like,
yeah.
that's how I feel closer. So I
yeah.
get what you're saying on that.
And you'll learn with friends, and when you, you know, eventually have a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you'll learn what makes your partner happy. And when they see you doing those things,
right.
you're going to just stick together like glue, because it's like we're one mind, we're one accord.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I love you. I mean, it's
yeah.
just a big love fest. But that's how I personally feel closer to God. And so hopefully that was helpful.
And kind of going off on that as well, like building a relationship with God, but also having God-centered friendships
mm-hmm.
in general.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and because we talked about this on Friday as well, like we were talking about seeking the right friends
mm-hmm.
and going on to the other ones. And I know
mm-hmm.
One person said, she was like, she went over to friends from school or those who were like, let's say like the worldly friends,
mm-hmm.
rather than the friends in church, because
mm-hmm.
she wanted to hear what she wanted to hear.
Right.
And not what
mm-hmm.
she needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we go about finding the right friends?
So for me, and this is what I tell my children,
mm-hmm.
of course we need to be around people that are not like us, because
right.
we have to be a light
mm-hmm.
in the darkness. So I'm not saying that we need to X off everyone that is not like us, but what I've told my children always is, if you're the only one in the room that is going this direction and everybody else is going the opposite direction,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, now this is me talking to my children,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not, I don't want anybody to think that this is the do all and say all, because your parents, a lot of us have different ways, but 9 times out of 10, you can't have relationship with people that are just consistently going to go in the opposite direction as you. That doesn't mean that you're right, they're wrong. You know, it doesn't mean anything. You just want to keep walking forward,
mm-hmm.
and you have a path that you're marching on. That's ultimately to get to heaven
right.
and to be with Jesus. And some people just don't want to go in that direction, and it's okay. It doesn't mean that they're the most horrible people and that you can't come across their path again later and help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell them that if your friends encourage you to do right things,
right.
they're good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Any friend that will encourage you to do something that is wrong, or something that you've expressed to them, I don't do this,
mm-hmm.
This is my, or personal or biblical, whatever conviction, and anybody that would push you to do that, I don't believe that's a friend.
Yep.
And I just pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from a mother's perspective is different, because I pray for good people to come into my kids' lives, and
mm-hmm.
God remove the people that would make them stumble. Help them to recognize good friendships and bad
yeah.
friendships. And if you pray that God will help you see through his spirit and through his eyes, He'll be that still, small, quiet voice sometimes. He's not going to smack you in the face and say, that's a bad friend. Because sometimes we're like, we just want to have friends. So we're not even paying attention to if they're horrible friends or not. Right. We're just having fun. Yay, I got friends. And God's not going to scream at you and say, Kimberly, that's a bad friend.
Right.
You know, you got to get in your quiet place and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll begin to show you things. And a lot of times, eventually, they'll just begin to fall away themselves. Because if you're walking somewhere they don't want to go.
Yeah, that's one thing I did struggle about with high school and middle school. Because in middle school, I really wasn't, like, I really didn't care about my relationship with God. But in high school, that's when I finally, like, started, okay, I really want my life to be devoted to you and not wherever the world is taking me. And that's one thing I really did struggle with because I was pretty popular. Like, I had all these friends.
Right.
I was cool.
In middle school?
In middle school.
Yeah, middle school is tough. Yeah,
it was, like, I was pretty popular. Like, I was on the top of the chain pretty much. And then going into high school, I noticed, like, everything was just slowly breaking off. Especially going to early college where there's literally nobody in that school.
Right.
So I was kind of alone. I had my one friend. And then, of course, I had another friend that was with me. And of course, we didn't have the same schedule, so we'll meet up in the library and we'll hang out. But then it kind of just fell apart as well because then I got into this other friend group who were not encouraging me in the right path at all. And then from there, that's when I kind of like fell off again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed I was being more depressed. I had the worst anxiety.
Right.
Like, I was just dealing with all these other things because I was following what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they were doing, I did.
Right.
And that gave me more anxiety and more depression,
mm-hmm.
and I was like more anxious all the time.
Yeah.
And then I finally broke off into that, and that's like one thing I kept going like back and forth to them. Like, I would either be by myself, but then I felt lonely, and then I went from there because I didn't want to be lonely or look like a loser in high school because I was in the library by myself.
Wait till you get my age. You'll be sitting in that library with your feet propped up.
So,
going, please, no one talk to me. This is so great. It's quiet. Sorry.
But
I'm so sorry. You know me.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing. Iron sharpens iron.
Right.
So I feel like if you're around people that are making you better, those are your people.
Yeah.
And this may sound silly, or, okay, don't anybody kill me for saying this, but I don't talk to anybody that I went to high school with.
Matter of fact,
anybody I went to school with.
Right.
I have a couple kids that have graduated. They don't talk to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you're in school, it's good to be a light. It's good to be helpful if people receive it.
Right.
But actually, when you're in middle school, you are trying to find out who you are.
Yeah.
And I believe that's one of the hardest things ever that you will have to do, because if you don't know who you are, you can't help nobody.
Exactly.
Because you're flopping around like a fish, and it's hard to find ourselves. And like you said, a lot of times we're looking to find ourselves in all the wrong places and all the wrong fulfillments, like friends or groups or whatever.
Right.
There's nothing that can fill that hole but Jesus.
Exactly.
And once he's the center, fills up that empty spot, you're looking at things differently. Then you begin to know who you are. Then you begin to respect yourself more. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't deserve this type of treatment. I need friends that care about me.
Yeah.
When you know yourself, you respect yourself, and you see yourself the way that God sees you, which is, I think, one of these questions we have on here, then you'll be like, you know, nope, I'm not taking that. I'm not doing that to myself. You will start to see yourself more valuable. And then you'll be like, this friend, we're going to keep on going. And this one, we're not.
No, that's good. Well, since we were kind of going off on that, I'm going to go ahead and skip 11 and go to 12. How to see yourself in ways God see you. How to love yourself in the way God made you. Physical insecurity or self-hate.
Okay, so this one was my most in-depth study because I'm just going to be a little bit transparent and say that growing up, I feel like we turn ladies and even guys, we have our fathers and our mothers to lead us as an example. I'm not in a bad way at all, but my both of my parents were struggling with issues of their own. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it be like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get stuck with unhealed and unhealthy parents because of the things that they've struggled with. So I feel like I did not begin to find myself until I hit my late 30s and even to just recently. So for me, this was somewhat of a struggle because I'm just now, I know it sounds silly that I'm older and I'm just now beginning to see who Melinda is.
Right.
So with that, it's everybody's going to be on a different level. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said that, because for me, it's going to be different from you. If you have two loving parents, you're maybe going to be further along than I am, mm-hmm. even though our ages are different. Mm-hmm. But for me, these are some of the things that I've had to tell myself. And I'm not all the way there. I want anybody to know that I'm still struggling with this. But I have some scriptures here of how that I have found and searched of how God sees me, so that I can appreciate myself. And one of them is Jeremiah 1:5.
Yeah. Says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations."
Okay, I'm not a prophet. That was, you know, for, like I said, the word is alive, so I know I'm not a prophet, so mm-hmm. I'm going to put it into context, but he knew me before I was born. Right. Then Psalms 139:13-14 says something similar.
"For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well."
Okay, and then, which one was that, 13, 14? And then Psalms 139:16-18 says,
"Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God, how vast in the sum of them. Where I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you."
Okay, so those three I really hold on to because God knew me before I was even here. He knew what I was working with. He knew what I was lacking.
Right.
He knew what I was going to need, exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. He put me there. He knows my path. He knows everything that I need. And then in Luke 12:7, these are them red letters again.
Yeah. "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows."
So God knows how many hair is on our head. Now, literally, does he sit there and count them? I don't know. But I'm thinking, if you looking at these hairs, mm-hmm. and I lose like 30 to 40 every day. So, you know, mm-hmm. he knows me. That's right. What I take from that. Okay, and then Genesis 1:27. Sorry. Yeah.
So God created mankind.
Oh, dear.
Sorry. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them."
Okay. So God created us, and he does not make mistakes.
Right.
So we're looking at how to see us, how God sees us. So God sees us. He knows us. He mm-hmm. knew us before we were born. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He created us in his image. And that's something beautiful to think about. So, what I would ask is, what and who are we measuring our self worth and beauty to and by? Do we want to be the image that God sees us, or the image of even our own selves, or what the world sees and expects of us to be and look like?
Right.
Sometimes I think what we need to do is just shift our perspective mm-hmm. of what image and beauty looks like. Mm-hmm. And if we line that up with what God says beauty is, then if we're looking for that type of, you know, if we're looking to be in that image, then it's gonna help us a lot. Some of the ways that God sees beauty is 1 Peter 3:3-4.
Yeah. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight.
Okay. The part of that that I wanted was the gentle and quiet spirit.
Right.
Basically, that's saying it's not what you dress yourself like. You know, I can braid my hair, put on all the wigs or whatever people do, you know,
right,
all these things. I'm not saying they're bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, God's saying it's not in that. That's not how I see beauty. I see beauty in a humble, contrite spirit.
Right.
Which I struggle with.
Nice. It's hard now because
it's hard.
Everything is trendy. You want to fit in.
Yes.
Where, especially, like, all over, like, especially in the Christian community, there's trends set there,
mm-hmm,
too, and we want to fit
everywhere
in with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just want us to be seen from,
right,
how everyone else sees us,
right,
rather than how we should be seeing each other.
Well, you don't want to be that sore thumb.
Exactly.
But you do.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's okay. Don't be a weirdo. But,
oh, yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, but, you know, God's saying it ain't all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be that, but it's not all that. That's,
yeah,
if you're looking for acceptance and what beauty is from your peers, it's going to be in all that.
Mm-hmm.
But God says that humble, contrite spirit, that's what he thinks is beautiful. And another thing he thinks is beautiful is in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, or another way that God sees.
But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not come look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Yeah, so another thing, it's not bad to dress yourself up and look pretty. Please do that.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself.
Right.
But God ultimately knows and wants our heart. Just like caring for people, serving people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how God, we get close to him. He thinks that's beautiful. I think,
right,
that's why your relationship grows when you do those things, because he looks at our heart.
Right.
He knows. And he wants our heart to be beautiful. Because all this on the outside, when this world is over,
yeah,
when we go get to heaven, we're not going to have this flesh to pretty up.
Exactly.
It's what's inside that we're taking with us. Our,
mm-hmm,
spirit and that type of thing. So those are some of the things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess the point I'm making is to search God's word and line it up with what he thinks,
yeah,
is beautiful.
And going back to, like, how he looks at the heart, like,
yeah,
I know, like, time and time again the Bible says what you filled your heart with is what's going to come
out of your,
like,
mouth.
What's,
yes,
going to be shown.
Out of the abundance of your heart, your,
right,
mouth speaks.
And I feel like that's really good, and especially correlating with this, is, like, if we fill our heart with the Spirit,
mm-hmm,
and if we continue to, like, learn more and seek more of,
mm-hmm,
what God wants us to do or want us to see,
mm-hmm,
then I feel like from there, eventually, it'll kind of break off with the insecurities that the devil's trying to put us,
yeah,
in, or what the world's trying to set us into the standards when we shouldn't be.
You look at beauty different.
Exactly.
And that's another good point to where you can tell those friends, like you were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm,
out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
Right.
So, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what people are speaking and what they spend time on.
Yeah.
And you'll know. But the last part of that I wrote, this scripture down, and I can just, you don't have to read that one, but in Psalm 37 and 4, it just says basically that if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
If you put God first, if you put him in your heart and you are happy when you do anything with God and put yourself in and y'all become meshed together, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And the funny thing is those desires might change,
right,
when you put God first and when you really want to be with him. Those desires might change. So you might change the fact that you want to look trendier,
yeah,
where your beauty comes from. And I believe the desire of your heart could be to see yourself as the beautiful creation that he,
yeah,
has made you.
And I say that because I remember, like, growing up, I always wanted to be, like, this cool short hair, the dye hair,
right,
and, like, the crazy makeup, or,
yeah,
wanting to be a makeup artist. And now it's, like, I rarely wear makeup. Like, like, yeah. I want my hair to grow longer. As a matter of fact, I'm always like, oh, I wish it was longer, rather than me.
We always want what we don't have.
Exactly.
Bianca's always like, I want straight hair. I'm like, well, I want curly hair.
Exactly. So it's like, it's just crazy, like, how we change what we want.
Right.
When we seek God more.
Like, and when you know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, you know who you are more now than when you were in middle school. Do you feel like
definitely.
Your roots are firmly
There's
planted?
Definitely been a change
right.
from when I was in middle school to now. Like, I definitely, first off, I'm dressing differently.
Yeah.
I'm acting differently. The words I spoke are completely different mm-hmm. to what I said back then. So, it, like, there's definitely been a change. And honestly, like, I mean, of course, it's going to come with age and mm-hmm. maturity that grows with us. But mm-hmm. then also getting mature and with the Spirit of the Lord. Like,
right.
He's going to help us guide us into the right path to maturity rather than leading us the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's awesome to grow. There's one of these questions that I had on here, number 11.
Yeah. What is true repentance? How to tell if it's true repentance or not just confessing sin due to guilt?
So, I wanted to say this because I feel like even for my kids... this is something that I want them to know because I feel like this is important with teenagers and young adults and even myself. But
right.
a lot of the way that I feel is you struggle with it more when you're trying to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just answer this the way that from my perspective as a mother and somebody that just wants to shed some compassion on it. We all sin, and my scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 15. And 31, I done mixed you all up because we went back and forth. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So, obviously, he's not dying and coming back every day.
Right.
So, there's two bodies. I mean, there's two parts of our bodies. That's our flesh and our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe... he's saying, I die daily, every day, to my flesh.
Right.
So, what that is telling me and what I want every younger person to know is that you, even me, everyone needs to repent every day because
mm-hmm.
you're going to sin somewhere.
Right.
And it don't matter if it's a big sin or what we think is a big sin or a little sin.
Mm-hmm.
If I sin by, you know... telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
In God's eyes, I'm still sinning as the person that killed somebody.
Right.
There's no
levels
percents.
Of sin, pretty much.
Right. So every day you just gotta say, God, forgive me. That's what he died for.
Mm-hmm.
We would be doing ourselves such a disservice to not use the keys that he's given us.
Right.
And don't beat yourself up. Like I said, moving forward, even if it's a baby step,
mm-hmm.
even if you're crawling, you're not going backwards.
Right.
And make sure you listen to the Holy Spirit and make sure that you understand. I think there was guilt, something about guilt.
Yeah.
So, of course, I feel like you need to feel guilty because when you do something wrong, part of the healing process is feeling guilty because
right.
you know you did something wrong. But I feel like guilty just equals taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, feel guilty. But do not get mixed up in the difference between a conviction to feel guilty because you did something wrong and condemnation because they're two different things. Conviction is so healthy, is so good because it helps us know we messed up, but
right.
we have something that we can do,
mm-hmm.
repent, turn around. You know, repent is that act. We don't go do it every single day. Now, we might take a while to get it out of... Like, some things we've accumulated over 10 years is not going to be gone in 2 seconds, okay?
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. But repenting is at least making that effort to turn around and do better.
Right.
So, don't feel condemned. We all sin. If somebody says they don't, then I don't think that you should ever talk to them again because we all sin.
Yeah.
And don't feel condemned. That's the devil. That's the enemy. If something's telling you, I just messed up, I need to quit, can't go on any longer, this is dumb, I'm just useless. That's not God. That's horrible because God died for us.
Right.
For us to be able to come to him and say, I'm worthless without you. I mess up every day. So I just wanted to say that because I think that's important for young people who are trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect. So you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
But just keep going forward.
Mm-hmm. That's hard. Especially, like you said, like, sins that we accumulate over the 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Like one sin that we're trying to get rid of, but let's say we repent from it, and then the mm-hmm. next day we do that exact same sin again.
Right.
Like, I feel like more is, like, at that point, how, let's say we get to the point where we're sinning and then asking for forgiveness, but
right.
without asking, like, you're just doing it out of routine,
well,
rather than
right.
actually feeling guilty or knowing
that's
that
why
that
you need
wrong.
To feel guilty.
Right.
Because if you don't feel guilty and recognize that it is a sin, you're going to talk yourself out of repenting.
Right.
You have to feel guilty for what you did that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, how can I line this up with something that makes sense, you know? Like, if I'm telling my kid we're going to Dollar General and she steals a pack of gum, and I'm like, we're not supposed to steal gum.
Right.
Okay, well, the first time maybe she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I said, this is wrong, now you know.
Right.
It's in everybody's nature to sin. We're
right.
born that way. Period.
Exactly.
That's the thing. But if she continues after I tell her and after she repents,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple times, I mean, I really don't know, but you know what I'm saying. Like, if you just don't feel sorry
right.
and you find excuses for what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know it's wrong. You know, I'm not saying that God can't still forgive you even for that.
Right.
But ultimately, repentance is saying, I know that was wrong. I want to do everything within my power not to ever do it again.
Right.
So even if you mess up and do it again, that's not the end of all. Like, God is a million chance God.
Right.
But just remember what repentance is and try your best and your hardest to turn away from it.
Right. Yeah. I like to think of it as, like, kind of like Dory, like, she, you see something and then you forget it the next time.
Right.
Right. That's kind of like what's with sin. Like, he sees
right.
us sinning. We ask for forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and we repent and we pray that we're going to be better and
mm-hmm.
move forward from that.
Yeah.
Then he forgets about it all over again. So then when we sin
right.
that same sin, I feel like in his eyes, I mean, I'm not know if it's like 100% true, but from
right.
what I'm viewing off of, it's like each time we sin after repentance,
mm-hmm.
it's like, this is your first time sinning.
Right.
What do you mean again? I'm going
right.
to forgive you anyways.
Yeah. God's always going to forgive us.
Right.
you know, I guess there's some things, but we don't need to get in that today. There's some things that maybe people will be like, that these are the unforgivable sins, and I'm not anywhere, want, you know, I don't want to get into that. But what, basically, yeah, you're right. He's going to forgive us, but that all goes back to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be the type of person that hurts the person that you love and that loves you?
Right.
Sin hurts God. I mean, and when he was hanging on the cross, he took our sin. He didn't sin.
Right.
We did. From past, present, and future, all those sins he took. Do you
right.
want to hurt the person that gave up his whole entire life so that you could be free of sin? Because ultimately, the person that's held in bondage by sin is not Jesus anymore. He's
yeah.
It's us. He's everything that God does is to help us and make us better. So it's just ultimately what you want.
Yeah. That's really good.
Woo.
Alright. Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time.
That was some time. They're gonna be like, this is the longest talking I ever heard in my life.
Yep.
Sorry, those were some deep questions.
No, yeah. And
those were some good, wonderful questions.
I'm really glad that we took the time to actually,
yeah.
you know, discuss this, because I feel like there's a lot of people, especially like middle school to high school or
yeah.
even like freshman college,
mm-hmm.
like there's people that are going to go through these things, or someone
yeah.
who's like coming out from backsliding, like they're going to need these questions. Because I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
I mean, to this day, I need these questions answered.
I need them myself.
Exactly. So,
like, just because I'm not younger and, you know, I'm married and whatever.
Yeah.
Women, we all struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, guys too. But
yeah.
women maybe a little bit more with the way that we look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's more standards set.
I can't say that I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I want to look pretty,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
like everybody else. And
exactly.
and so it's not something that doesn't touch us all. I just think that funky area of
yeah.
when you're trying to find yourself. It's just, right. You need more encouragement. And then look at people, you know, that you want to be like. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to be like those? Do you really, really, really want to be like those celebrity people? Because, you know, I always wondered that maybe the only thing that I'd want is, like, the money back. But I don't know. Like, all the stuff that comes. Do you really want to look like that? No. Like, really, let's just think about it.
Right. I mean, do we want to go through that as
do
well?
Do you really?
Look, like, go through the process of trying to look like every other person.
And remember, that's all edited. And And so you don't see the what it took to get there.
Exactly.
So I think it's very important that you took time, and I appreciate you trusting me enough to help.
Yes, you are my guide. All right.